Hey, gang, let's face it. You're probably listening to this show and all of the other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your music, you stream your movies. Why not stream your podcast? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream thousands of shows right to your smartphone or pad. Get the best in news, comedy, sports, entertainment, anything you want. Find it at Stitcher.com or download it in your app store. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Right? Let's do it. Let's get down. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is that you did. I had an intense weekend, man. Energy-wise, it was a harrowing weekend. It was also a sad weekend, man. Lost a lot of people, man. Like, I grew up as a kid being a huge fan of Neil Simon stuff. I love The Odd Couple, you know? That's such a great movie. I remember I did it in like a UIL tournament in like seventh grade with a friend of mine, and I played Felix, and we did the scene from the movie of The Odd Couple where he calls his wife, or his wife calls and Oscar answers. His wife calls and Oscar answers, and he's like, tell her I'm fine. And then he's like, you know what I mean? You know, if you know The Odd Couple, the movie, then you'll know that scene. Anyway, we did that scene, and I connected very deeply with that guy's work. I did. I loved California Suite. For some reason, I watched that like 50 times when it was on HBO, and I was like 10 or 11 years old. And then I loved Brighton Beach Memoirs. I just loved his work. The guy was a great writer. And then we lost John McCain, who was amazing. Maybe it was amazing. I don't know. You never know with these guys. But he seemed like one of the better guys in that scene. You know what I mean? These guys, they're beholden to someone. And I'm sure there's some whatever kind of like, you know, crappiness to some shit that he didn't. He admitted to a lot of it. Anyway, we lost a lot of dudes this weekend. We also lost the dude. God, now I'm drawing a blank on his name. But from Lynyrd Skynyrd. Wasn't his name Billy West? Anyway, lost that guy too. He's the guy that came up with that riff. Anyway, sad weekend. A lot of loss. I was working a lot and kind of going crazy. I will tell you all about that in just a minute. First of all, let me tell you guys, I have a great show for you guys today. Back in July, I talked to this great dude named James Asbury from the band Nautical Nation, whose brand new EP, Golden Seas, comes out September 7th. And you can find them at nauticalnation.com. The album was produced by the great Matt Nevesky. And they are having release shows on Thursday, September 6th at the House of Blues in Dallas, Saturday, September 8th at 1 to 1 Bar here in Austin, Saturday, September 22nd at House of Rock in Corpus Christi. Go to nauticalnation.com for all of your Nautical Nation needs. James and I have a great conversation. He grew up playing his family venue, the Lazy Days Canteen, and he played with his dad's band, the River Rats. He's got a great, great story, and he's a great songwriter. He made a great record. The record was produced by Matt Nevesky from Blue October, my pal. They did it over there at the Orb. As I said, go to nauticalnation.com for all your Nautical Nation needs. James and I have a great conversation. That's coming up in just a second. First of all, let me tell you about my weekend. All right. First of all, we lost all those dudes. Sad to see all those dudes go. There was also another mass shooting. I forgot to even say that. That was another shocking thing to wake up to this morning. Ugh, what is the deal, man? What is the deal? It was a video game conference, man. Guys were just playing Madden. I don't know what to say. I don't have anything to contribute to this except for that I'm shocked. I'm not shocked. I'm disgusted. I'm saddened. Just like the rest of us. But there's nothing I can really do from my apartment, sitting here on my podcast or playing shows, which I did a lot of this weekend. Anyway, look, man, I'm sorry about that. And it's a really sad thing, that thing that happened in Jacksonville. My weekend. All right. On Friday, I got up very early and had to be at my gig at the Fairmont Hotel here in Austin. I was doing one of those song division things, as I said, which is a corporate this is, it's like a music idea where you go and you do team building exercises at corporate events through songwriting and through music, and they hire band people. And they put together these bands of people. And this band was my friend Corey Glazer from Skyrocket, my friend Chris Gebbard from Skyrocket as well. He plays with Ian Moore. And Alex Marrero from Brownout and Brown Sabbath. He was on drums. And anyway, we did that. We did it from 8 to 1 in the afternoon. Then I packed up my gear, put it all in my car, drove to my apartment, changed my clothes, packed a bag, drove to Houston. Got to Houston about 6, did my sound check, played our gig at Fitzgerald's Skyrocket. It was a great show. It was a really good time. Great time. And then I went to my hotel, couldn't go to sleep for the life of me for a while. Just couldn't fall asleep. I was just like kind of awake. And so all that energy, like the whole day, I was just kind of going, and it was hard to get my body to stop going. I woke up kind of early, went to my grandma's house, hung out with my aunt and my grandma on Saturday, and took a long nap, and then went and played our show at the Swinging Door in Richmond with Skyrocket. That was a great show. We get to play for the Red, White, and Blue Jean Bash. It was our 9th year in a row playing that thing, and they raise money for wounded veterans and help them out. So it's a great cause. It was great to be a part of that. It was interesting that right after soundcheck, we all found out that we lost John McCain. So it was a little, it added a little bit to that night. It was good to be there giving back to veterans that have been wounded and thinking of doing that in honor of Senator McCain, who I have a great amount of respect for. Then that night after the show, I drove back to Austin. And I couldn't go to sleep until like 4. I woke up at like 7:30, and couldn't go back to sleep because I was nervous that I was going to sleep through my balcony TV taping, which was at 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So I headed down there. I was a little wiped out, but man, I found out that the guy Joe that does all the sound and the visuals there for the balcony TV Austin is a big fan of the show and listens to all the episodes. So Joe, if you're listening to this one, thanks a lot. You did a great job yesterday. It was fun playing out there. It was tremendously hot. So when this comes out, you're going to see a dude melting in front of a beautiful backdrop. I mean, this, if you've not seen balcony TV Austin, check it out. Our friends Katie Rain have been on there. A lot of people that have been on the show have been on that show. So you can look it up on YouTube, Balcony TV Austin. You can see the beautiful backdrop, and I'm sure I'll let you guys know as soon as mine pops up. All right? Crazy weekend, man. A lot of stuff. So after that, I came home, and I actually kind of, I watched the John McCain documentary, For Whom the Bell Tolls, that they made after he found out he was dying. And that was really interesting, touching to watch. And then I watched the Lynyrd Skynyrd documentary. There's a new one out about them. So I was thinking about Mr. West over there. Sorry we lost those guys. Sorry about Neil Simon. But I'm very happy that you're going to get to hear me talking to James Asbury from Nautical Nation. Their EP, Golden Seas, drops next week, September 7th. And you can go see them Thursday, September 6th, House of Blues in Dallas. Saturday, September 8th, 1-to-1 Bar here in Austin. Saturday, September 22nd, House of Rock, Corpus Christi. Go to nauticalnation.com for all of your Nautical Nation needs, all right? Have a great week, guys, and enjoy my conversation with James Asbury from Nautical Nation. Let's get down.
The towers go up and all the expansion and all that shit.
Oh yeah. Right. How long have you live? You grew up in the hill country?
That's right. Yeah.
Where?
Out there near Ingram and Hunt.
Okay.
It's kind of over there near Kerrville.
Okay. So far out.
Oh yeah. Probably about what's funny, man, I was actually born here, you know,
in Austin.
In Austin. And I lived here, I guess, for until I was about 5 or 6 or something like that. And just ended up moving away. You know, parents wanted to be out in the hills, you know, to raise us. And
how many of you are there?
There's me and my brother.
All right.
Yeah.
What were they doing here in town?
Oh, man. So my dad was a contractor.
Okay.
And my mom actually worked social services. And she, my dad, actually, little known fact, was a an Elvis personator here in Austin for, I think, like 20 years or 30
really?
Years or something. Yeah. And, I mean, he was Chewie's, Elvis Presley, you know, he did all their parties.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stuff like that. I was little Elvis, you know, and like the parades, you know, they dressed me up in like the leather jacket and everything, man.
Do you have photos and stuff of that?
Oh, yeah, man. You know.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, it was great. But,
could
yeah.
you do an Elvis imitation at that age?
Probably not too well, but I could do my legs. I could shake my legs and right. stuff like that. But yeah, they mostly had me riding in the parade, you know, and they have the Cadillac and all that stuff. It was pretty instrumental in my upbringing.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty amazing. And so then they moved out there and opened a club, a bar.
Yeah. So
a
my
joint?
Parents. Yeah. So basically, they went into. Like bed and breakfast type situation. And we ended up having, you know, getting a couple cabins and then expanding. And now we've got like, you know, 18 or 20 cabins out there.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, you know, and it definitely helped my dad being a contractor. You know, he was able
yeah.
to, you know, build
put them together.
A lot of the, you know, the houses out there. And of course, my dad has been playing music for, you know, 50 years. He's been in, you know, 30 bands. I'll always love hearing, you know, all the, there's always a new one he forgot, you know, and he ended up making a music video venue out there and a bar, and so that's kind of where I grew up, you know. Was
is it still kicking?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's, we just had
the Lazy Days Canteen.
Yeah we okay. just had Monty Montgomery out there, and
wow,
yeah, I love Monty. And you know, it's kind of given me the rare opportunity to, you know, open and for, you know, a lot of, you know, regional and international artists, you know, and I've been very lucky to have that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So did you have bands and like, what did you start out solo? Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's kind of actually how I started out. I actually was, my first passion, my first love was acting. And so I actually went to New York and actually went to college there for a couple years.
Where?
Marymount, Manhattan
okay.
University. And I actually wanted to get into musical theater because I, you know, I did dance for a lot of years, you know, tap dancing and hip hop and stuff like that. And, you know, acting was a big love. And of course I love to sing. So that was just kind of the natural progression,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
using
yeah.
all three.
Yeah.
And, when I got up there, you know, I just, I fell in love with, you know, playing guitar and, met this guy named Matt Lavigne, and we ended up, he had a band that he had going called the Weather Star. It was like the scene band, man. It was like, you know, the straightened hair and all that stuff. And, yeah, I just realized, you
what
know.
What year was that?
Man, that's a good question. I think that must be 2011 or
okay.
2010,
okay.
something like that. And the guy, Cameron, that lead guy for it, ended up getting like a management deal with Never Shout Never's manager, who's, you know, pretty big in the scene. And we ended up getting the boot. You know?
Oh, yeah.
All three of us. And
what were you doing in the band? Just playing guitar?
I was just tinkering on piano.
Oh,
you know,
tinkering on piano.
You know, hanging out, you know. But that was, it was a lot of fun, man. I realized, you know, that's what I wanted to do with my life, you know, is play music and, you know, be in a van with 6 guys, you know, crammed, you know, like sardines. But you live it and you love it, you know?
there's a freedom involved with it that doesn't, there's no... like, as long as you can get gigs, there's no gatekeepers. You can't
exactly.
just be a musical theater guy and, like,
yeah.
you know, you need people to let you in their show.
Exactly.
And that sucks.
Yeah, you have
you
to audition.
You got to have a reputation.
That's a painful process.
Painful
you
process,
know?
Man. That's,
you,
you're just
you
getting
like,
kicked in the nuts all day.
Yeah, you wait in line at the chopping block, you know, for your minute.
Did
you
audition,
you know?
For a bunch of shows?
Oh, yeah. You know, in fact, it was mandatory in the college.
That you audition all the time?
You have to audition for a certain amount of shows. And
well, I guess it's good because
yeah,
you
got to
have
practice.
That experience.
Exactly.
Like that auditioning in itself isn't anything like acting.
No.
It's kind of a fucked up thing. And then you realize like, oh, all you have to do is walk in here and they know
Exactly.
The second you walk in, they know.
Well, you know, it's a lot of it's confidence and you know, rehearsing, and you know, either go, you know, you either don't have it or you do, you know. And I love it. I you know, I would still act in, you know, I've still acted in a couple short films.
Do you have like an agent or anything?
I don't have an agent. Okay. I kind of, you know, book everything myself, you know, kind of DIY, you know, type of situation. But yeah, I still love acting and, you know, dancing, and, you know, music allows me to do a lot of that. So
do you go out dancing to places?
Oh yeah.
Where are these places?
You know, like as far as venues, just hanging out and having a good time.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, where do you go dance?
Oh, go dance, like here?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm not a dancer, man. I dance at places.
Yeah.
When I'm there.
Of course. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm not like, I don't refer to myself as a dancer. Do you identify in Footloose when Kevin Bacon is angry and he goes he goes to that empty space and just dances?
Yeah, man.
Do you think that's weird or do you think that's cool?
I think, you know.
Because it's weird to me.
Yeah, sure, man. You know,
So angry that I've gone to an empty place and danced.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've never done that myself. You know, that's not like my outlet. You know, I'm like, man, I'm going to go dance angrily and get it out. Like, but, you know, I grew up in this Kerrville School of Dance. And,
really?
Yeah, and went there and danced for a number of years, you know, and it's fun, man. You know, it's fun to express yourself in for me at least, you know, different styles of art, you know.
Sure.
And I think that connects your other styles and helps you grow in that aspect. So, yeah, but definitely
no anger dancing?
No anger dancing,
okay.
Man.
There wasn't any high school thing. on the side of the road.
Yeah, definitely not. I'm like... Like, man, you know, it's funny, man. We actually, in Kerrville, we have this lady that dances on the side of the road, and we call her the dancing lady. And she just walks around Kerrville and just dances. Like, just like you're saying, man, Footloose, fancy free. And, just has a great, I mean, by the side of the road, you know, having, you know, such a great time. And, everybody that sees her, they wave at her, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of famous, you know,
because with that musical dancing theater stuff, like there's a very specific, like there's only a few things you can really do.
Exactly. Yeah. There's it was interesting, man. You know, I didn't think acting was going to be exactly what it was. It was crazy because
no one does. It really sucks.
It's intense, man. You know, I mean, I thought I was going to go to New York. They're going to hand me a script and I was just going to, you know,
you're going to be great.
Yeah.
At
we'll
it.
Be great.
Gonna be in,
But the lady that I ended up, I guess, being a student of, she was the head of the BFA program, which is like the, you know, the higher, I guess, whatever you want to call it, more respected, you know, program.
The Bachelor's of Fine Arts?
Exactly, okay. Yeah. And she only took 60 out of 2,000. And I ended up getting into that program. I don't know how, but, you know, and... I walked in the first day and she told us all, she was like, all right, guys, next time you come to class, I want you to wear shorts, like workout gear. And so we literally ran up staircases with backpacks on, did wall sits with people standing on our legs. And she would get us, that's what we did for the first month of acting school was, you know, I was paying money to get, you know, beat the crap out, you know, and but it was awesome, man. You know, I mean, I was in great shape, but you know, basically the idea was, you know, she breaks you down to where you can't have a persona or how you're thinking.
It's like boot camp, same
exactly.
thing they do in boot camp
exactly.
when you go to the army or something. They
and
beat you the hell down and they create a new person.
Exactly, man. I mean, once you started, she would go to until somebody broke and they would just start crying and she'd hand them a script and say, all right, act. And that's what she wanted us to tap into was that lack of persona and really, really living in the consciousness of the moment of what the script calls
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah.
It was nuts, dude. I was like, damn. What
did
I say?
How long did you last there?
It was about 2.5 years. I went 2.5 years. And then I was like, you know, man, music.
Yeah.
Music's kind of my thing.
Yeah, it's a little easier.
Yeah, and you know, and it's a lot, there's no stress. You don't have to, you know, run up staircases to get in the mindset, but it was cool, man. It was a great experience, and you know, I wouldn't trade it. You know,
do you find that training helps you when you walk on stage in some way?
Oh, absolutely.
How to hold yourself, carry yourself. You don't slump over like me right now in this terrible way.
I mean, absolutely, man. I think, you know, being on stage, just in general, you know, and practicing being on stage and in front of people definitely has helped me. Yeah.
So you, your dad's band was the River Rats, and you started
the River Rats. Yeah, man. He, it's funny. My dad didn't really even know that I was playing music, you know, and when I was like 12, you know, I took like a guitar lesson, for about a year or two probably. But, you know, then I got into basketball and sports, you know, and kind of went a different direction. And, so I started playing music, and when I got back from college and, you know, was just kind of hanging out for the summer, you know, helping the fam out at the ranch. And
oh, because you got to do stuff.
Oh, yeah,
there's
man.
There's people there.
Oh, yeah, dude. Summer is when, you know, is the on season. So, and that was even interesting in middle school and high school when, you know, all my friends would be like, all right, man, can't wait for summer, you know. I'm like, man, I can't wait for school to start, you know. And but it was good, man. You know, it taught me a work ethic. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't trade it. But, you know, I started really, you know, started playing guitar and showed my dad some tunes. And he invited me on stage, you know, from like, I think like 12 to 18. I sang with his band. And, you know, these are all guys, you know, who are been in the music world for decades, you know, right. And to be able to sit there and, you know, learn from these guys and, you know, them sit there and, you know, kind of coach me and kind of almost groom me to be a front man was invaluable and something I'll always cherish, you know.
They didn't need to tear down your persona.
They did not make me run staircases. Yeah, that was a plus too.
So when you came back from college, then you started jamming with them something? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I came back, I had a couple years and where I was hanging out, helping out, and just started playing with them a lot more often. And, you know, I love it. You know, it's great.
What was the tune? Did you have like a specific tune that you got up and sang with them? Was there?
Oh, man.
Was it cover tunes?
Yeah, we did some cover tunes. I would say, you know, we did Mercy Mercy.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, yeah, know, great, nice, yeah. Great tune. We did some Storyville, Good Day for the Blues. And Malford Milligan, you know, is
both guys have been both. All of those guys have been on this show, except for Chris
really?
And Tommy.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, Malford Milligan, he didn't know it, but he definitely has had a huge impact on me as far as.
That's interesting.
Music.
That's good to hear.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a pretty special person.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I've actually my dad took me to see him when I was 15, I think, and I was just blown away. Of course, I love Storyville. You know, that was the first band that I really fell in love with as far as their music style, you know.
Yeah.
And their feel. And then he's progressed so well, so much now, you know, as far as in that blues world. I think he's with...
Malford?
Yeah, MVP.
That's done.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's weird.
When did that
They happen? Were on the show, and then like a month later, they weren't a band anymore.
Wow, that was just a couple
he's
months
He's got
ago.
A new thing. There's a new thing he's doing with some
cool.
people.
Well,
he's wearing a hat.
Oh, yeah?
That's all
I know.
That's all I know. That's the only information I
man,
get. I'm sure he'll
you know,
come back around
oh, yeah.
at some point and come
any,
back on the show.
Man, Malford is like, you know, he can meld with anybody, you know.
Yeah, he's...
I saw him play with John Gar one time, a couple times, actually. And I love to go see anything that he's in because he's always got so much passion for what he creates, you know.
What about Grissom?
Love Grissom, man. You know, it's funny. I actually used to work at South Austin Music.
Oh, really?
For about
my
a
hat.
Yeah, love. I saw that. Yeah,
my godson. You work with Sean.
Sean, yeah, man, love
my
that
godson.
Guy. Oh no, really?
Yeah.
No shit, man. That guy is the nicest guy
I've
ever met.
Yeah.
Man, seriously.
I can say that too.
He's I worked there for about a year, probably about a year and a half, and just loved every minute of it. You know, getting to meet the awesome musicians that came in there. And hearing their stories, you know, and.
Hear him complain,
you know, try these strings, you know, maybe this will work out, you know, and, but man, yeah, just, I've had such a, I've been blessed, man, you know, to really be, you know, around great musicians and down to earth musicians, you know, and yeah, I think that's done a lot.
That's one of the things about the scene here that I don't know about other scenes, but there's a real like, guys teach you stuff.
Exactly.
Scene. You know what I mean? Like when I was 16, I met Grissom, and you know his guys like him and Ramos, they all were like, it was before they played with like John Cougar. I mean, it's like the 80s. I'm like almost 50. So those guys were like totally like, you know, hey, you don't want to use that pedal. It's stupid. You know, what are you working on? Let me hear your tunes or whatever.
Yeah, man. You know, there's no ego there. You know what I mean?
No, there's not when it comes to health. I noticed that with myself. I mean, I work at the Awesome Music Foundation with those guys too. And I do a lot of the mentoring stuff as well. But I did it anyway. You know, like,
yeah.
People come and like, oh man, I'm doing this. And you're like, oh, are you trying this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and you know that, and that's great because you know so many people are competitive in today's music world, and you know I feel like, you know, people don't really get that it's an art form.
Yeah,
you know,
it is an art form.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can't bring a Picasso painting, you know, and you know Michelangelo, or you know, together and ask somebody, you know, what's better,
right?
You know,
because
it's just, you know, it depends on the person, and so. You know, that's something I didn't like about acting, was it was very competitive.
Yes.
You know, people like put X-lax in people's coffee so they miss auditions and
shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. And so, you know, I mean, you know, that's why I love this world. You know, it's very, you know, or at least it should be.
It's more communal.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, if somebody's doing well, you know, and I like their music, why would I be jealous of their, you know,
right.
success.
Well, when you look back in history, the things that stand out, at least in the short life of like pop culture history, like the Rat Pack, that stands out. The British Invasion, that stands out. These were scenes. These dudes all hung out together. The Nirvana scene, the punk scenes of New York. Those guys all hung out together. They went to each other's shows. Even directors. Even directors. Like, you hear all those stories of, like, Spielberg going to see Star Wars when it was the first cut before the effects and all that shit, and him telling Lucas, like, oh, stay with this.
Oh, man, this is great.
Yeah. Right, yeah, and I just found out that he also was on the set of Scarface hanging out, and De Palma had him direct one of the sequences in the big shootout at the end.
That's awesome.
Because he was hanging. Yeah, that's a thing. That's a real thing. Community is a real thing.
Yeah, man. You know, because true artists really get the fact that, you know, all you're really trying to do at the end of the day is create something that people are going to connect with.
Yeah.
And if, you know, it takes getting together and collaborating to, you know, have something that best connects with a certain audience, you know, what's wrong with that? I mean?
Yeah, I think that's part of the formula of what's made the hip-hop and pop worlds excel so much, is they've all been there for each other and been on each other's records.
Yeah,
you know?
True that.
Produced each other's records, rapped, whatever they do. Who's your community? Who are you
so
guys?
So I would say right now, you know, we're, you know, my band is very eclectic as far as music style.
Yeah.
And that's something I've always tried to hold to, you know, I love all types of music, you know, and whenever I ask somebody, you know, what type of music they listen to, you know, a lot of people will answer, oh, well, I like, you know, all sorts of types of music,
right,
you know,
right.
I like this and this and this.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've really got a whole bunch of different styles as far as funk and, you know, alternative. There's definitely a lot of rock. You know,
there's a lot of rock. There's a lot of like, sort of like, there's good songs, strong songs.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. You know, it's just, you know, when we started, actually, Matt Nevesky, who, you know, is an awesome, I would say, getting to be staple in the Austin music scene. You know, he's great as far as mentoring younger artists, you know, and kind of, you know, helping them through, you know, the hardships of what it really takes, you know, to get out there. And I actually, that's one of the reasons I started working at Orb Studios was, you know, when I thought about doing this project, you know, I knew that, you know, there's a lot of great studios, obviously, in Austin, you know, I mean, just, you know, hundreds. But I would say that at Orb, you know, it's created by musicians. And when you have owners that play music themselves, you know, that's just golden, you know, that's to be able to have that same thought process go into your studio that, you know, the people who will be going there will be going through as well.
Yeah. What are you doing out there?
So we just
recorded an EP.
No. I mean, but you said, oh, you said you're working out there. I thought you meant like you got a job.
Oh, no, like, no.
I'm the guy that, you know.
Sorry, my music is my work, so.
No, that's cool. Mine too.
But it's more like a passion, I guess. But yeah, we've been recording out there. Yeah. And
That EP comes out on September 7th, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it comes out September 7th. We just got everything mastered, and we just released a single, Golden Seas.
Golden Seas, great song. Let's talk about this for a second,
sure.
If you don't mind my interrupting you.
Go
what
right
the hell
ahead.
Kind of video did you? That is insane.
Oh, man.
Like, what are you? Duran?
It was nuts, man, you know?
That's the most... Was there a helicopter involved, or what was going on?
There was a drone. My friend had a drone, and this guy, this awesome videographer, Brad Keenan.
Yeah, that guy's got... That guy can capture, like, that... You'd think it was a helicopter. I mean, it doesn't look like a drone.
Oh, he's incredible, man.
Yeah, did he shoot it on?
So, I think it was... I'm not exactly sure what the product was, but I know that... I think it was in 4K, and...
Yeah, it's really good looking.
I mean, he... You know, I've known him for a couple years now. I had another artist friend of mine recommend him, and so I actually bought him a plane ticket. He came out, recorded some music videos for us, and so that's actually how I knew the guy. And you know, we were actually shooting this music video, Bird in a Cage, and we were talking. This was just like 5 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, and. You know, we were talking. He actually goes between L.A. and Hawaii. And I'm like, man, that's just, you know, weather-wise, you're messed up there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Nice
Perfect.
Life you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. And so, you know, he was like, man, you really got to get to Hawaii. And, you know, maybe, you know, I was telling him about Golden Seas. And he was like, man, this would be perfect, you know, for this video. And so I actually went down there.
You had to for work.
Oh, then. Yeah, man, for work, you know, of course,
totally.
You know.
Yeah.
And and I went down there for about a week, and the moment I got there, it was his birthday the same day. So he had kind of chartered this boat for a whole bunch of friends and, you know, fellow videographers and such. And we all just hung out in this boat, man, you know. And it was actually Chinese New Year. And so first day that I'm there, I'm on this boat in the middle of Hawaii Bay, and the sun's going down, and there's fireworks over Hawaii, and it's just, I'm like, where am I, man?
Yeah.
And but that was the start of the video shoot. And we had a couple of videographers also, Tyler Harris, you know, my boy Austin Butler, you know, they helped out a lot and did some really cool shots. But it was just the whole week was magical. I mean, you know, I would, you know, it was like you go there and you leave and you just feel so, you know, centered, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
no stress. It was great.
That's amazing, sure. Man, who's that girl in that video?
So
did you meet her there?
Ari. Yeah, Ari's super sweet. She's just a great vibe. She's all about love, and we call her Ari Safari. And you know, it's great, man. They all just hang out on the beach all the time, you know, and like, you know,
fucking losers.
I know, right? God, it just, they've got it so bad, you know.
When people say that to me now, I'm at the age where I'm like,
God, man.
What the hell am I doing? Like,
right.
Why aren't I
dude,
out there
go
just
to
like,
Hawaii, man. Seriously.
What could I do there?
Oh, dude, yeah, you know.
Get a gig at a place?
Oh, dude, absolutely.
And then, hey, I'll be the guy.
Dude, it was weird, man, when on the ride over, for some reason, I always end up like in the back of the plane in long flights, hanging out with like the attendants, you know, the stewardesses and everybody. And
not supposed
know.
To say that anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Flight attendants.
Flight attendants. All right, yeah, okay. Rock on. And
I got yelled at recently.
Yeah. Learn something new every podcast. Yeah. And you know, so we were back there hanging out, you know, and I was trying to tell him, you know, hey, come out and let's hang out. You know, I've never been to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And
stewardesses.
We started talking about music and, yeah, right.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Flight attendants. Yeah. That's what I meant. Come on.
And man, now I got you saying it too.
Oh, God.
Shit, man.
I just got done doing it and I'm on the thing and I was on the right track and you took me off,
no,
my,
man, I'm
off
sorry.
The path of righteousness.
But... Man, dude, so we were in the back of the plane, and I was talking to them, and I was like, well, I'm here to shoot a music video, and they were like, man, you know, I think I was talking to this lady next to me, and she was like, her whole group was there to, like, see, you know, Springfield,
Rick Springfield. Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I haven't seen Rick Springfield play ever. That would be so cool. And I'm talking to the people, you know, I want to say backstage, but it's in the back of the plane. And Jesus. And, you know, they're like, yeah, I think there's a Rick Springfield on the plane. And I was like, no way. And sure enough, they pulled up the itinerary for the checklist, and Rick Springfield was in the plane.
First class. Probably.
First class, oh, for sure. And I had actually put my guitar, like, in first class because they had let me put it up there. And so I told this girl sitting next to me, I was like, well, I know Rick Springfield. So, and she's like, no, no way. And I was like, yeah, I could let you meet him, like, you know, just out of my ass, you know. And when I went to go get my guitar, sure enough, I looked down, Rick Springfield sitting right there. And, you know, we started talking because I brought out my guitar. And, you know, I was like, this girl would freak if she met you. And he actually waited for us at the...
Rick Springfield's like...
Oh my God! He's like this kid. Yeah,
people fucking freak out when they meet me.
That's who I am, man.
Rick Springfield.
Yeah, and but he was such a nice guy, man. And he was there doing a solo thing, and was just hanging in Hawaii with his wife. And like, sure enough, he was waiting there. I thought he was just gonna ditch, you know. And no, man, he just waited for us. And I was like, hey, this is Rick.
See, okay, so I was in Memphis, crazy, Tennessee, man. Like 5 years ago, in the airport with my friend Darren. And I've told this story on the podcast before. So I'm standing there. We got some barbecue in this place in the terminal. And then I see these cool shoes. But these pants are like rolled up to the high tops. I'm like, that looks like a Rick Springfield shoes. I look up. I'm like, fuck. It's Rick Springfield just walking through the airport. I'm like, Darren, Rick Springfield's here. He's like, where'd he go? So we follow Rick Springfield.
Oh my
he
God,
goes into
awesome.
The MSNBC store.
Yeah.
And we're both standing out there. He's like, oh. What do I do? Do I call my wife? Do I FaceTime my wife? I'm like, no, let's just freestyle. Let's go straight in there. She's like, hey, what's up? We're in a band. Hi.
What's happening?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we shake your
hand?
Can
we shake your hand? So as we're walking up to Rick Springfield, he's talking to a dude, but in a tone you don't want to hear coming from Rick.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was mad. Him and this, something happened.
Yeah.
And I guess this guy worked with him. And he was not having whatever he was. And we walked up behind Rick Springfield, and we heard him talking. I looked at Darren, and Darren was like, let's go.
Maybe not. Let's
yeah,
not
so I'm glad to know.
I
figured it was a mood thing.
Oh yeah, no, he was super chill. The guy was super nice, but yeah, I was just blown away that, you know, what are the chances of that?
That's totally surreal, man.
And
so you're out there in Hawaii, just like.
Just hanging out.
Oh, hey,
man.
Ladies want to be in my video? Oh, sure. There's like chicks in bikinis. It's
man.
It
well,
is
you know,
full on.
It's interesting. You know, Brad actually knew all these awesome people, man, and knew these girls. They had modeled for him in some of his like a commercial. I know that they did, and I was just when I got there, he had taken care of everything. I mean, you know, I walked in basically and was like, you know, just join the party, you know, and
that's so cool, man.
It was nuts, man. I mean. It was a beautiful place, beautiful people. Had some interesting things happen, though, during that time. I'm actually, even though I'm fascinated with the ocean, I have like an innate fear of swimming in the deep ocean.
Yeah.
You know, because you never know what's around you.
Yeah, Jaws.
And yeah, Jaws. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's easy.
For sure. Yeah. Done deal right there.
Done deal.
And, you know, so we actually, first day I get there, they're on a boat and they stop the boat in the middle of the ocean. And everybody just starts jumping in, man, like left and right. And I'm like, well, hell,
no
man,
way.
No way am I going to not get in the water, you know? And so I just kind of, you know, jumped in. You know, I was like, well, you know, come on, I'll just swim in the middle. And then, you know, they'll just mess with the ones that are, you know, the sharks will just mess with the ones on the outside.
Right, know? Perimeter. That's how
they
do it.
You know, yeah, whatever, you know? And but I had a great time, you know, and then I actually went to a club that same night. And I was telling this guy, he had this 360 camera with him, and I was like telling him about the music video, and I was like, man, you should let us use your camera. That would be, you know, that'd be crazy. And I tell him about this experience I had actually getting to swim in the ocean for like the, you know, really deep ocean for the first time. And he just kind of casually goes, hey, man, you should come with me in the next couple of days and go swim with sharks. And I'm like,
no dice.
Well, you know, baby steps, man. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And but somehow he ended up fucking, you know, talking me into going to swim with these sharks, man. And you know, he basically, he was like, man, once you get, you know, the idea, they're basically just big hungry dogs.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's right. You know, you're not their food, but you know, they're freaky and, you know, dogs will attack sometimes. And
yeah.
So I decided to go on this shark dive, man. And the day before it happened, we were all going to go. I was hiking in this jungle and actually fell and broke my ankle.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Broke my ankle. So if you look in the video, and I had to persevere, you know, for the video shoot. So if you look in the video, I've actually got my foot wrapped up, and you can't really tell that I've got like a broken ankle in the video.
Did that mess up your dancing for a while?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, there wasn't too much dancing after that point.
Where do you go to dance? I asked you that earlier.
Oh yeah, sorry.
The question.
Got off on a tangent here. I would say, you know, mostly I go.
That was the only question I had on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. I would say the Callow Theater in Kerrville.
Okay.
Where I went to dance.
What about Austin? I mean, Austin, like you go out. Hey guys, let's go dancing. I want to know where to go.
You know,
that's
honestly,
all I'm
man,
asking.
I go, you know, to like Flamingo Cantina is a great place. They always have awesome music, you know, dance music you can actually dance to.
Yeah.
I guess it depends what your vibe is, man. You know, if you're looking to get into,
I've gone
like hip hop or like, you know, dance club, you know.
I don't like those places as much. And plus I feel real old when I'm there. I'm always like, don't leave your drink there, girl. Someone's gonna, you know. What I mean?
You're always like watching out for everybody.
It's what I feel like. When yeah. I'm like their grandma.
Hey, you know, somebody's got to do it, man. You know. But you know, I would say, you know, yeah, if you want to go dance, you know, I like to go to venues and dance, honestly.
Yeah.
You know,
Empire probably is a good
Empire
place.
Empire Control
They have
rooms,
a lot of dance
cool.
music there, Mohawk.
Mohawk's nice, you know.
Are you a two-steppy?
I'll two-step. You know, I've gone obviously. To the Broken Spoke, you know, a couple times.
You White Horse?
You know what? I've actually never been to White Horse. I've been living here for a while.
Do you live in town now?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've been living here for about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you miss the Kerrville?
Well, not, you know.
Not like you should.
Not so much, you know. I love it, you know. I do like to go out there, you know, every month or so and kind of, you know, lose myself in the nature of it and go hang out with family and stuff like that. But, you know, Austin, you know, it's got such a low-key vibe anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Where do you go to hang out for fun? Like, where do you go see music?
I would say I go to Antone's a lot. Stubbs. I was actually at Antone's this Friday. I went and saw Flaco.
Flaco Jimenez.
Love Flaco and Augie Myers and Roy Head.
Yeah.
All those.
The old guys.
Oh, yeah. Love that stuff, man. Yeah. It's, in fact, my I had a manager who actually manages Flaco.
Oh, really?
And me and him are still awesome friends. And, you know, he's part of my family, you know. And
that's good, man.
And, but he invited me out and said, hey, man, come chill with Flaco and...
Yeah,
you know, drink some beers and I was like, well, you know, I'm not gonna say no to that.
No,
so.
Come on.
But yeah, that was a great time, you know. And those guys have great dance music. Los Tex Maniacs were playing, Max Baca, and
oh yeah,
and yeah, I love that stuff, man. You know, all the culture.
Yeah, all the culture.
I love it.
It's got it's a good culture here. So hey, your EP is called Golden Seas, but people
right.
can see the video and hear the single Golden Seas, which is available now for all.
That's right. It's experience. It's on iTunes, Spotify,
the places,
all the tidbits,
the places,
you know,
the Amazons, the Googles, the
all
things
that.
Where you go and do the music. You can go to nauticalnation.com to get filled in on some stuff if you need some fill in stuff. But let's talk about your release shows. Thursday, September 6th, House of Blues, Dallas.
That's right.
Good place.
We're
you're doing the what's it called? The something room.
Smaller room. I know it's a smaller room.
It's
with Blue
the
Apollo.
The Cambridge room.
That's right. That's right. And that's with Blue Apollo. They're doing their EP release as well.
As well.
And they're a Dallas-based band. Awesome, awesome guys from what I hear.
That's a good room. I've played that room a few times. The
cool.
Cambridge room.
That's good to hear. Yeah, this will be the first time I've ever played there, so... Definitely looking forward to it.
Have you ever
it.
Played at a House of Blues?
I've never played at a House of Blues.
Okay, you've got to do stuff on time. They are like...
Sure.
When it's set, they're not messing around.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
yeah.
If you're supposed to go on at 7:45, a guy comes back there at like 7:38 and is like, all right, you ready
y'all
to go up
to
the
ready.
Stage? And you're like, well, wait, I have to pee. The guy's like, dude, it's 7:38, man. You like,
hold it.
Yeah. And lights on when they say it's over. Pew, lights on.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then you're going to be doing Saturday, September 8th, 1-to-1 bar here in Austin. Great place.
That's right. Love 1-to-1. Love the sound there.
That Kurt Gannon. Everybody's so, something else.
Oh, yeah. It's very professional, you know, and we love, you know, we love that area. It's I'm definitely a South Austin guy. So that,
you do Saxon and stuff?
You know, it's funny. I've never actually played at Saxon, but I saw the owner a couple months ago, and he said, come on by, man.
Is his name Joe?
Joe, that's right. And
I don't know that guy.
He's cool, man. You know, they just got it renovated.
Yep.
Looks great. So, I mean, whoever did the renovation, very streamlined.
Who else is playing with you at 1-to-1?
1-to-1, Blue Apollo will be joining us as well. And Larry, actually. Larry loves you. Larry's this awesome jam band, man. They used to play in Austin a lot, man. Yeah,
I remember that band.
Yeah, with Jeff Bradbury and
I don't know their names, but I remember Larry.
Yeah, now. Awesome band, man. And
so they're jamming.
Oh yeah,
they're
man.
Still out there.
Yes, sir, brother. They in fact, Jeff has been in the Hill Country and been friends of the family for about a decade, and. You know, I was like, man, who, you know, I wanted it to be a special thing, you know, for the first EP release. And so I was like, hey, man, you know, I'd love for you guys to jump on the bill. And yeah, so Larry is going to be out there September 8th at 1-to-1 with us. So
I'm doing my release show the Thursday after you.
Really?
There. Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. Dude, that's great. I'll have to come check it out.
I'm going to start telling people we're doing it together just a few days apart.
Heck yeah.
So that's at 1-to-1 bar. What time do you play, Dito?
I think we go on about 9:30.
Why did you change your name from like a solo name to a band name? What's going
on
with
that? That's a good
question. And why Nautical Nation? That sounds weird.
Yeah, sure.
It does to me. Sorry, hey, don't get mad.
That's okay, man. You know, like I said, art, you know, to everybody, it means something else. So.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I was James Keith and the Moondogs.
Okay.
And, you know, I actually, the band that I had before I was James Keith and the Moondogs was Nautical Nation. And actually, before that, it was Cougar Bait, but that's another time.
That
story.
Is a killer name
Thank you. I
for
appreciate
a band,
that.
Bro.
Cougar Bait, you like that? Golden,
Bring
right?
Bring it back.
I know.
You fit the bill. You
oh,
look
thanks,
like,
man.
You look like
you
a,
know?
You look like the like the fantasy,
dude, I'll take
like
it.
in a bathing suit cleaning their pool.
A cabana boy,
like
hell,
that.
I'll
yeah,
take it, man.
You look like the cabana you boy know? Fantasy in a cougar's
hell
fantasy.
Yeah. Rock on.
You do. I know cougars.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, man. You know, it was one of those things. Certain radio stations wouldn't say our name. You know, they wouldn't say Cougar Bait. And
why that?
I know,
because
right?
It sounds like masturbate.
I
or why?
I don't know, because it was like offensive or something. I don't know.
It's but, like the flight attendant thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
What are they like? Elderly, you know, horny women.
Yeah, like, you know, probably that's the ones that said no, right? But you know, it's like they can't. I can't let them know I'm attracted to them.
Yeah.
But man, it was just, you know, it was one of those things where. You know, that name has an expiration date, you know, for sure.
You'd have
you know.
To have play a, so you couldn't really play your kind of music and be called Cougar Bait.
Exactly.
Your music is kind of too authentic and stuff. You'd have to be kind of zany.
Exactly. And, yeah. And just kind of out there. And but, you know, yeah, we changed our name to Nautical Nation, and we ended up doing about a 2-month tour on the West Coast. We played Whiskey A Go-Go, which was super cool, you know, just the history that's there,
sure.
You know. And you know, and that was great. And then I changed to a solo thing. And now that I'm back doing full band stuff, you know, I just figured, why not just go back to the old name? You know, I guess Nautical Nation really means to me. It's, you know, if you think about us as a whole, you know, the human race, you know, we're surrounded by majority water. Mm-hmm. Us as beings, we're made of
water,
you know. So I just, you know, we're more like a nautical nation as opposed to, you know, a land nation.
That's true.
You know, if you really think about it. So that's kind of where I was coming from, you know, and a lot of my songs encompass the ocean. I'm fascinated with the ocean.
And
the fact
that
it, you know, I've got songs like Dreamboat and Taming the Ocean, Golden Seas.
Golden Seas.
You know, and so all that type of stuff, you know, really, I love the fact that the ocean can give life and take it away, and it's just very push and pull, and, you know, the perfect balance, man.
It's alive.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Has, so. Like, the currents, the tides are like breaths,
Exactly.
You know, like it breathes out.
And
it breathes
I don't know.
In.
It's just always fascinated me, man. And that's kind of where I came from on that one.
Yeah. And you go by Jake?
I do go by Jake. Yeah. My dad's name is Keith, and okay. my grandfather's name was James.
Okay.
So I got the J A and the K E, kind of put it together.
Oh, I see. So yeah. Jake. Jake Asbury, is that where you go?
That's right.
Okay.
That's what I go right. by. If somebody comes up to me like, hey, James Keith, man, what's up? I probably, you know, don't know you from at least like a friend standpoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, my friends call me Jake.
There was this guy that I met in like 1988, and he was this Italian guy that had moved to Houston to be like a songwriter. He was a songwriter, but he wanted to be like a pop guy. He was making music like Erasure kind of music, you know?
Sure.
And he wanted someone to write songs with, to write lyrics in English and sing on some stuff. And so somehow we got connected, right? And so I meet this guy. His name's like, it was totally Italian. It was like Severino Antolini or something
yeah,
like
sure.
that. Something super cool. And he could barely speak English, no?
Yeah.
And so when he gave me his cassette, he's like, yeah, I did it in the cassette. And so I look at the cassette, it says on there, Keith J. Adams. And I'm like, who's Keith J. Adams? And he's like, oh, I wanted to have like an American sounding name. I was like, it sounds like a guy on a soap opera. Sounds like
That's
Dr.
So
Keith
funny.
J. Adams on As the World Turns or something.
Man, that is funny, man.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know why when I hear the word
no,
Keith,
hey.
I always think of Keith J. Adams. As like, yeah. what like as an Italian guy, like what makes you American? Keith J. Adams.
Keith J. Adams, that's the American.
I wonder if he even knew what the J stood for, if he just had like a random J. So you're also playing on Saturday, September 22nd at House of Rock.
That's right.
In Corpus Christi.
I love that.
Famed venue.
Love that venue. Casey, the owner. Man, I haven't been back in Corpus in a while, but I'm pumped to get back.
Yeah.
You know, another place in Texas just has great history, a lot of awesome culture. Last time I played there, it was at the American Bank Center, and it was like this best of the best showcase for Caller Times.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's
we
their paper there.
Yeah, Caller Times. Yeah. And we played, and I remember the this is a great funny story, but there the celebrity guests there were Neve Schulman from MTV's Catfish. And Andy,
I'm so old, I don't even know that.
It's all good. I didn't know who he was when I met him either. But then there was Andy Dick. Was
Who's an actual friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
No lie. That is hilarious. And he was...
would say we're good acquaintances.
Sure, yeah. Man, and that guy, we played our set and he invited us, you know...
Oh, he did.
...over to hang out and, you know, yeah.
How did that go?
And it was hilarious, man. You know, he had his,
yeah.
his drink, you know.
Who was his assistant?
Oh my God, Jamie or something like that. It was like a...
What did it look like? A chick?
Yeah, no.
Oh, it was a dude. Yeah, he needs a dude that needs a controller.
You know,
it always has to be.
It was like a younger dude. He was like a tan.
Yeah.
Like a, kind of like
I don't
Mexican
think this
guy.
Is my guy. No, no, no.
Yeah, and... but he brought us over there, and Andy Dick's sitting there signing autographs, you know, and there's this huge line, man, you know, of all these people. And he just goes, hey, man, you know, bring him over, you know. And we go over there, and he just sits there and talks with us for like 10 minutes, dude.
People are freaking
and
out.
And people are like in line. Have been, you know, I'm just like, oh my God. But he's just, you know, having such a great time talking with us and invited us, you know, hang out, you know, later. And of course, you know, he didn't hit us up, but, you know.
You didn't hang out later?
We didn't get to hang out
oh,
later.
Oh, that's
you know?
That's when it all happened.
Like, I know, man. You, I know, right?
That's when you're like grabbing the assistant and going like, seriously, this is every
this
day.
This is life.
Like,
right?
This is what, come on, level with me. We had yeah. one assistant told me and my friend Anar, we were like, surely. This can't be. And it was like, we were at this place in LA and he, this little midget guy walked in and he just got up. Like we were in the middle of conversation. He got up. He went up to the little guy and he got on his knees and he started saying something and he started like legitimately crying and like holding the guy. It was so weird.
Oh my God.
And that's what
dude,
we were like,
so
surely
funny.
He's not like this all the time. And apparently he's got his times like when he would be with his kids then or whatever. Anyway, he is a weirdo.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I do like him
for sure.
A lot. Yeah. Oh, you want to here, take some of mine.
Oh, sweet.
I mean, it's almost the end of the thing. I don't wanna keep you look at that. We're sharing stuff. You don't have any fucking like cougar diseases from
your
pool
all,
boy days.
You're all golden, brother.
Cabana boy.
No cabana diseases here.
Well, you're a handsome fellow, Jake, and I like your music a lot.
Thank you, man.
I am
Thank you.
I'm blown away by that video. I have to be honest. I was like, what kind of life does this guy live?
Yeah, man, that's not every day.
No. What's the feedback you're getting on it? Are people jealous? Man. Because I am.
Oh man, you know, next time we go, man, come with us.
Yeah, you'll need a guy. You'll need a guy that
we always need a guy, man. You know, shoot. But you know, man, it was just kind of one of those things where, you know, even the people who were on the boat were like, "This is your first day in Hawaii," you know. You're setting the bar pretty high, man, you know, yeah, for coming back next time. And but yeah, I just said, oh my God, I had such a great time out there, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Was there anything I'm missing? You guys have good socials. They can check you out and find you at nauticalnation.com. Your EP Golden Seas comes out September 7th. Go to nauticalnation.com for all of your Nautical Nation needs. Please tell Matt Nebesky I said hello.
Absolutely, will do.
And those of you in Texas, these guys, they're not just playing those three dates that I mentioned, but they will be playing all around. There's more dates listed on your thing. That's right. Go to nauticalnation.com, get involved, find out how to get involved.
Hit us up on that Facebook, give us the old thumbs Instagrams. Up. You know, yeah, we got the gram, the Insta going.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys like the music,
yeah,
please follow.
Yeah, please follow.
We'd love to see you.
Good to have you on, Jake.
You as well, Johnny. Thanks for having me, man.
That's right. Jake Asbury from Nautical Nation. Find them at nauticalnation.com. Their EP for Golden Seas comes out September 7th. But you can see the gorgeous video and hear the single produced by Matt Nevesky now, because the single Golden Seas is out as we speak. That's the song you're hearing right there. And you can see them Thursday, September 6th, House of Blues in Dallas. Saturday, September 8th at 1 to 1 Bar in Austin. Saturday, September 22nd at House of Rock in Corpus Christi. That is Nautical Nation at nauticalnation.com. Do it up when you're out there checking out nauticalnation.com. Don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast and all the places where you stream the podcasts and listen to podcasts and download podcasts. Let's say iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Android Podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, all the places. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to another artist, getting down, doing it up. All right, here's my man, Jake, with his band Nautical Nation, playing their song Golden Seas. Let's get down. In my mind. Oh, into the great unknown. Oh, I'll find, I'll do it alone. Oh, where the surf meets the sand. Oh, I'll find the man that I am. No.